The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Well, we're going right to Donald Trump speaking at the Department of Homeland Security, a real department of real Homeland Security. That moron, Jay Johnson, faker, bum, traitor is gone. We have a real American in there right now. Listen to what Trump is saying about throwing the drug dealers out, ending sanctuary cities. Listen live on the Savage Nation.
Unbelievable. Laura Wilkerson, who lost her 17-year-old son, beautiful Josh. Josh was special. Where's Laura? Good.
Laura. He's talking about ending sanctuary cities. What's going to happen in San Francisco, where all the corrupt politicians live off
Terry
them, huh?
Terry Ruiz and Lucio Ruiz Jr., who lost their young daughter, Felicia.
In IIHS top safety.
Thank you. Beautiful. Felicia.
You're listening
Thank
to
you
Donald Trump live at our real Homeland Security Department.
Stephen Ronnebeck, who lost his 21-year-old son.
He's talking about actual people who lost children to the illegal alien vermin.
And we have many others with us from Remembrance and from other groups. And these are incredible people that have endured
The people
so
whose
much.
Feet and were not washed by Nancy Pelosi. Their bodies were washed by The Undertaker.
Thank you.
The people that don't matter to all the liberals in America.
But I want you to know your children will not have lost their lives for no reason.
Amen.
They've set this incredible goal for so many. These were great young people. And they will always be remembered. Always. We will never forget.
See what's going on? Are you listening to what's going on in this country? Do you realize we've had a revolution? We have a real American in the White House.
And to the parents and loved ones.
The Islamophile is gone, golfing off into the sunrise or the sunset.
Your activism. Keep it going. And now together, we will save thousands and thousands of lives.
I don't know.
When
this
it comes
is awesome.
To public safety,
no one cares.
There is no place for politics.
Right on.
No Republicans, no Democrats, just citizens and good citizens. We want safe communities, and we demand safe communities for everyone. We want respect. We want great schools. We want dignity and equality for everyone.
This
and
is great.
I will be a president, I promise you, for everyone.
You're listening to Donald Trump fulfilling his main campaign promises. He is going to end sanctuary cities, putting corrupt cities like San Francisco in a real pickle.
And unify our country. And if we do that, if we work together, then there is nothing we cannot achieve as Americans. The future is limitless. Good luck to our new and brilliant leader at DHS, General John Kelly.
Oh, boy.
Thank you.
General John Kelly.
And God bless America.
Instead of that fraud, Jay Johnson. Kick him out on his behind. Where is Jay Johnson, the man who let this country overrun with illegal aliens? Let one bombing go on after another and said Muslims and Islam had nothing to do with it. Those days are over. Pack your bags. Did you just hear what he just said? He's fulfilling his campaign promises. He's going to build the wall. He's ending sanctuary cities. He's going after the gangs. Is he still speaking? I got to hear more of this. It's like getting a shot of adrenaline. No, he's done. Fantastic. Well, you heard it first on the Savage Nation. He signed executive orders enabling construction of proposed border wall and targeted sanctuary cities. This is an immigration blitz, by the way. It is a victory. Not only for Donald Trump, but for you, the American people, especially for those of you who have supported my message of borders, language, and culture for well over 22 years. Make no mistake about it. He was reading from our playbook. This is huge news. Everything we ever dreamed of happening is now happening. Little by little, step by step, day by day, speech by speech, policy by policy, we're getting America back because I helped get Donald Trump elected. I'm so excited right now. I am so excited to see that this country is going to be back in our hands. The question now is, what will the illegitimate vermin on the left do? You know what they're going to do. They're going to try to riot. They're going to try and kick off a civil war. You know that's coming. They ought to be very, very cautious if they try to do such things because there's a new sheriff in town. Not only is there a new John Wayne in town called Donald Trump, but he has many deputies who are ready to do battle with the vermin on the left who've been used to running wild in the streets without opposition. In fact, not only was there no opposition to the vermin in the streets, they were funded by the government itself through many front groups. Now, you can support that or you can reject it. It happens to be true. This is the Savage Nation. If you care to comment on him fulfilling the campaign promises of building that wall with Mexico to keep out the illegal aliens, to keep out the contraband, to keep out the drugs, ending sanctuary cities, naming individuals who lost their children to illegal aliens. We all knew about Kate Steinle. How do you feel about these things? How do you feel about this today? Aren't you as excited as I am? Do you have any idea how big this is? This is a huge deal. Now, this is just the beginning. They're reporting that this is a result of his inner circle winning. Those in the inner circle who were conservative, like Steve Bannon, who is very, very conservative, and he does the right thing. I'm thinking right now that Steve Bannon and his group are winning over Renzo Priebus and the RNC. Remember what I just said to you. Renzo Priebus, you know him as Rince Priebus, of the RNC, did not want the wall, did not want sanctuary cities ended. They wanted the exact opposite. So Trump has just rewarded the conservative branch of his inner circle. This is what is happening right now in front of our eyes. Renzo, despite all of his best machinations, is not running this country right now. It's the other side. It's the Steve Bannon side that's winning. This is great news. It's the beginning of great, great changes in the country. Let's go to Brian on WABC Line 2. Go ahead, please, Brian. Make it quick. People are lining up. They're jammed around the block to talk on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Mike, if what Trump just got done talking about is in your book, Trump's War, then I think the guy, I can't wait to read it. I think President Trump is right on, and I'll bet what you wrote is probably exactly what he's talking about.
It's exactly what I was lobbying for in the first chapter of Trump's War, because immigration, 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 wall, wall, wall. In my last book, I said we should deport who? Did I say deport 11 million people here? I never said that. In fact, I distinguished myself from all those on the conservative side who were screaming, deport them all, deport them all. First of all, I oppose it, number one. Number two, it's impossible to do. Trump knows that. He's too smart for that stupid rhetoric. I said begin by deporting the 28% of illegal aliens who comprise our prison population. They They are in prison because they conducted numerous felonies and finally got caught and convicted. So that's one out of every three prisoners will be deported back to their home country. That is who is going to be deported, Brian. That is great news, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Yep.
Stay on the line. Stay on the line. You're getting a free copy of Trump's War the minute it's out. Everyone else should really grab a copy on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com. Next caller. Let's go to the next caller. FNC North Carolina 1, line 5, 30 seconds or less. How do you feel hearing Trump speak today?
Michael Savage, viva Trump, viva Trump. He is an awesome president. I'm so glad that Donald Trump is going to bring these policies to fruition.
Hasta la victoria siempre. You know Spanish because you're Hispanic, right? What did I just say? This is funny. It's a phrase that Fidel used to scream. Hasta la victoria siempre. Well, now we're screaming hasta la victoria siempre, correct?
Sí, sí. Yo sé español. Yo soy de El Paso, Texas. My family.
Bravo, man. Bravo, bravo, bravo. Well, look, here you're an Hispanic. Why are you happy that Trump is doing this? Aren't you supposed to be opposed to it?
No, I'm not opposed to it. There's some, like you said, vermin, scoundrels from the cartels over here. And I'm also glad that El Chapo Guzman is in prison, that lowlife. I can't believe he finally trusted him and And he deserves what he's going to get, Dr. Savage. He deserves it because he's hurt so many people, so many Americans, so many people in my home country of Mexico, where my family is still from. And my parents, they came to this country the right way. They paid, and they blood and sweat from my father and my mother. God bless my father.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so happy that Donald Trump is our president. I supported him.
Wow. Juan, that's beautiful words. You know, I got stirred when you said it because you could be talking about my family. I'm the son of an immigrant. People don't want to remember that. But I do speak from the immigrant perspective because I am the son of an immigrant. I know what it's like for the grandfather to come here without a dime in his pocket and kill himself and die young, then the father to kill himself and die young, so the son should do better. I know all about the immigrant experience, Juan. God bless you for calling the show. Stay on the line. You're going to get a copy of Trump's War the minute it is out. This is really amazing news. I mean, look, you know, you could make things out of nothing or you can make things out of something. What just happened is catastrophic to the left. It is catastrophic to the New World Order. It is catastrophic to George Soros. It is catastrophic to John Kerry. It is catastrophic to Hillary Clinton. It is catastrophic to Barry Obama. They are rolling over right now saying this can't be happening. Everything we have done over the last 25 years has just been undone by Donald Trump. Now, you may say, what are the long-term effects going to be of building that wall with Mexico and ending sanctuary cities? I will give you my view of what effect this will have, not only in the short term, but the medium term and the long term, including the next election. Because make no mistake about it, the reason that the liberals and the Hispanic mafia wanted sanctuary cities and unlimited immigration, unlimited illegal immigration, was one and the same reason. It's to keep the Democrats in power for 100 years by changing the demographics of America, not so much ethnically, but politically. Never forget what I just said to you. By changing the demographics, ultimately you change the nation. Pelosi and that gang understands that very well. Feinstein and that gang understand it very well. Well, let me tell you what this means long term. Those demographics are not going to change as rapidly as predicted. No, the white person's not going away from his own country. No, the white male is not dead. No, the white American is very much alive. And let me tell you something else. There's an awful lot of Hispanics and blacks and Asians who agree in principle with the very same principles of borders, language, and culture. That's what they came here for. They came here for a distinct nation. They came here for a nation that was separate from the others. They came here for a nation that was a citadel to all of the world. And we're going to have that again. And I'll be right back because I'm wrapped up right against the wall on this great day on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. We'll go right back in a moment to Donald Trump's amazing, amazing executive orders. He's ending sanctuary cities. He's going to start the construction of the wall with Mexico. It's actually a new dawn in this country. It's sending shockwaves across the world. And right now I have a very important ad to read to you. And yes, it is an ad because it's a good ad or I wouldn't do it. And it's about blood flow because everybody needs good blood flow, right? But, you know, you want to do it the natural way, especially as you get older. And how do you do it? You got to get the right dietary nitrates into your body, which convert into nitric oxide. Well, Super Beets is the easiest way to get these natural dietary nitrates. You throw one scoop in water or into a smoothie, and bingo, you're set. And what you have here is a way to support healthy circulation and healthy blood pressure levels. You're going to feel it right away. It tastes great. And it's all about blood flow, blood flow, blood flow. What does that mean? It means you'll feel the energy and stamina it gives you within 20 minutes. You're going to feel it within 20 minutes, or you're going to get your money back. Are you ready? You write the number down, 800-481-0504, 800-481-0504. I know you wrote it down. Or you go to SavageLovesBeets.com. That's SavageLovesBeets.com. Loves, L-O-V-E-S, Beets.com. You're going to get a 30-day supply for free if you make your first order, and it's backed by a money-back guarantee. What do you got to lose? And you're going to get a free book called Beat the Odds and free shipping. You'll love the results you will feel with your first free canister, guaranteed or your money back. 800-481-0504 or SavageLovesBeats.com. So Trump has fulfilled his main campaign promises. When he was on this show, going back in time, long before the others were backing him, they were calling him every name under the sun. They were calling you Trumpers, Trumpets, Trumpsters, Trumpeteers. They were mocking him. They were backing other candidates. And then, of course, they came along and backed him once they saw he was going to win, which is good. They all joined the party. They all joined the chorus. But what was it that made me line myself up with Donald Trump? Was it that I personally know him? Check no. Was it that I personally know anything about him? Check no. Was it that I idolize him? Check no. Is it that I worship him? Check no. He's the antithesis of my lifestyle in so many ways that I don't even want to mention them. It's not the life I set out to lead. I'm not into gold lame. I'm not into 14 or 22 karat gold coverings for everything. I'm not into putting my monogram on my cuffs. It's not the life I lead. It's the opposite of the life I lead. So what was it that attracted me to Donald Trump way in the beginning? His message, borders, language, culture. I happen to know for a fact he got that messaging from listening to the Savage Nation on a regular basis when he was in New York on WABC. I know it for a fact from the inside. He would ride around in a limo. He put the show on. He listened to what you were saying. He listened to what I was saying. And he channeled my message because he knew that this is the message of the people. Well, now he's actually doing it. See, it would be one thing if he just listened to become president. In other words, if he just aped the words, as the left is saying, oh, yeah, he listened to talk radio, and that's how he stirred up the masses, he's a demagogue. Well, he listened, but he's actually enacting everything that we wanted to see done. That's the whole point. So I bet on him. I bet that he was an honest man, and I see him as an honest man. I will have differences with him, and I will express them when I do as I have. I was not sure of Rince Priebus. And I said that. Now, as a result of that, I'm in the outs with the Trump campaign. I happen to know that. The inner circle has rejected me because I did not have confidence in Rinso Priebus. I think he represents the worst elements of the Republican Party. I am not a fan of Kellyanne Conway. I think she's an embarrassment. As a result of that, you're probably not going to see Donald Trump on the show for a long while. But nevertheless, in the big picture, I'm real happy today. How about you? Having a good day? I'm having a great one.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
For too long, your officers and agents haven't been allowed to properly do their jobs. You know that, right? Do you know that? Absolutely. But that's all about to change. And I'm very happy about it, and you're very happy about it. From here on out, I'm asking all of you to enforce the laws of the United States of America. They will be enforced and enforced strongly.
How shocking. How shocking. Well, there must be something illegal with the president saying he wants Border Patrol agents to enforce the laws of the land. There must be something illegal about that, right? You've gotten so used to having a twisted sister in the White House. A maniac. I told you he was psychotic. Fundamentally, Obama was a crazy man. I've said that. But worse than just being crazy, because not all crazy people are bad, he was a bad crazy man. But he's gone, and everything he did to damage this nation is being fixed. And only in a few days. This is only day three of the Trump administration. Day three. Do you know how catastrophic this is to the left wing? He's going to build a wall. He just ended sanctuary cities with the stroke of a pen. He's using all the powers that Obama grabbed for himself, all those powers. So the number one thing that we voted for Trump for was what? I would say immigration. Immigration, immigration, immigration. What got him to the first base? What got Trump on first base? The wall with Mexico. That was his number one calling card. Then number two was deporting Muslims. He said that. Now, he didn't mean Muslims that were here illegally. He never said that. He said he would start with the Muslims who snuck in on the sanctuary policies or asylum policies and came from dangerous regions of the world such as Syria. That's what he said. Well, he's working on that as well. They're going to be rounded up and thrown out. This is not all Muslims. That's not what he said. He said those who came here illegally, and most Muslims who were here legally, meaning who built lives here, are probably the first to be happy to get rid of those. They don't want them here. You understand the difference? So don't lump all of them together. That's something that the left does. That's like saying all blacks are this, or all Jews are that, or all Irish are this, or all Episcopalians are that. That's not the way it works. It's what the left does. Okay, so wall, deportations, and economy. Now, let me ask you something. Let's assume that he gets construction going on the wall in months, as he said today that he will do, and that he closes the sanctuary cities, and he will be opposed by the illegitimate. Never forget the fact that the illegitimate are running the cities, and the reason that they want the illegitimate in the illegitimate cities is to stay in power. How do you think they got to power in these illegitimately run cities? Through the illegal aliens, through illegal vote fraud. You understand that? This is how they got where they are. So you think that they're going to go along with these directives? No, they are not. They're going to put on a big show at first, showing that they're going to resist. They're going to make believe that it's the civil rights movement. You wait, see, the arms will be marched together with the whole Rainbow Coalition. Jesse High Jackson will be out there. Al Sharpton will be out there. They all put themselves together on the front lines all over again, making believe this is the new civil rights movement. Unfortunately for them, there is something that they already know, which is that federal funds flow into these cities as they do into all cities in this country. And the minute Donald Trump turns off the spigot of federal funds for so many programs, you're going to see a different tune being sung by the chorus of leftists. I already see the crack in the coalition. I saw it yesterday when Javier Becerra, who is the incoming Attorney General of California, or he's running for it. Of course he's Hispanic, but he's a very smart man. Javier Becerra said, hold it now, to his fellows in the Democrat Party here in California. He said, hold it now. He said, let's not sue Trump too fast and too often. That is what he said. This is the Savage Nation. The phone number is 855-400-7282. If you care to comment, that's the number to get on the program. 855-400-SAVAGE. KSFO, Nick, line 2. Go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. It's an honor to be on your show right now. You know, these promises Trump made, they were huge promises, and I was expecting months to go by before these get passed. And I guess that's just expectations from past presidents. First week, and he is doing so much greatness for this country. And I believe that this world balances itself out. For every negative that comes, there's so much positivity. Obama was such huge negativity that God had to balance this nation out with Trump and his doings.
Well, what's going to happen when the sanctuary cities like San Francisco and Chicago defy Trump? What do you think is going to happen?
Well, I could tell you this. I'm online right now, and I just see people freaking out. And I'm just there trolling everyone, and, you know, no one's got a valid argument against me. And I think pretty soon the people that are arguing with the rhetoric, they see the...
Wait, hold it, Nick. You live in L.A. and you're listening online. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I live in San Francisco.
So where do you see this fight being fought then?
I see it online. Every time someone posts something bad about Trump, everyone in the comment section is just blowing it up with how bad the things he's doing. And when I would argue with him, I would ask him simple questions. Why is this bad? And they can't come up with anything logical besides the rhetoric.
I see. Okay, thank you for the call. Very good. WABC, Katie, line 7, you talk, I listen. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Mr. Savage. It's a pleasure to speak with you. I just wanted to comment that I am an unoffended Latina, and I got goosebumps while listening to his speech. I have never been so proud to be an American. As I'm getting older, I am more patriotic. I supported Donald Trump and voted for him based solely on immigration issues, which are very important to me. I support the controlled immigration. I support the wall. And I want to let you know that all my family in South Florida, all Hispanics, first responders, doctors, teachers, et cetera, we all voted for Donald Trump. I am so happy to know that we are no longer going to be censored. We have been censored for the last 8 years and made feel ashamed for feeling patriotic. America should come first. The citizens should come first, second, and third. I am so proud of the...
Well, here you are of Hispanic heritage, happy for the deportations. Explain to the general audience, because they're only getting the left-wing view that all Hispanics think that anyone who starts deportations of criminal illegal aliens is a racist. Why are you happy to see this happening?
Because the funds that are being allocated to keep the illegal aliens here are going to be available for U.S. citizens.
All right, so what it comes down to in plain English is the economy, the economy, the economy. So when we see a government catering to illegal aliens, non-citizens, with numerous benefits, free health care, free legal care, free housing, free legal work, you name it, where'd the money come from? That money could be going to poor Americans, isn't that true?
Absolutely.
It's in plain English. In plainly English, he was robbing from America's Peter to pay Mexico's Paul. Let's put it in those terms.
Lifted from my eyes as I am getting older. My parents came here in the 60s via JFK International Terminal, the right way.
Where did they come from, Katie?
South America, Colombia.
Colombiana, huh?
I have never...
Now, I happen to know a few Hispanics, and they all want the wall, and they all want deportation of the criminals. Because they are impacted by this... more directly every day than the average American living in the suburbs or living in an apartment somewhere who really isn't touched by it every day. And Katie, I want to be very clear, and it's important that I say it again. Have you ever heard me say, even when others were joining the bandwagon, deport them, deport them, deport them all, throw them all out? I never said that. I analyzed it. I said, you're never going to deport the people who are here, the 11 million people who are here working in these jobs. I said, if they're working, you're not deporting them, if they have real jobs. Okay, cut down on the benefits, tighten it up, make sure their family is not getting free benefits, but let's not go after them, go after the illegals in prison. How many times did I say that? You know I did.
All the time. It's uneducated people who jump to conclusions and jump on bandwagons.
All right, I'm sending you Trump's War. You're such a great caller. You are typical of the silenced Hispanic voice. You understand that there's a silent majority amongst the Hispanic people that I detected way back during the early days of the Trump primary campaign when everyone's saying he's going to do poorly amongst Hispanics. I said, no, I don't think so. I think he's going to do better amongst Hispanics than you think. And you would say to me, well, why? I got to remind you what I saw. Because in my daily rounds, I ride a bike and I go past the construction site where some houses are going up and I see who's building them. They're all Hispanic men. And they're working from dawn until dusk like you can't believe. They're the hardest working people on the planet. It's amazing to watch how cheerful they are, how tough they are, how dedicated they are to building these houses. And I know what they're doing, and I watch when they show up at the construction site. Some of them have new trucks. Some of them on the weekends, I see they bring their little children around to show their children what they're building. The same way Italians two generations ago built the church buildings in New Jersey, for example, because many of the Italians two generations ago were stonemasons, maybe three generations ago. And when they came over from Italy, they built some of the big buildings in New Jersey, even in New York. And then their children, and then their children's children took pride in what their grandfather had built. I see the same thing with the Hispanic workers. I am not blind to it. I don't see race. I see a man who wants to work, and I see a man who wants to build his building. Build his life here. I remember years ago I did a show from this very studio that I'm in right now, and it was about my going to a Kentucky Fried Chicken on a Sunday morning. I never go there, really. I went on a Sunday. I was in the mood for maybe I saw an ad and they hypnotized me. I went for fried chicken. Who knows why, you know. I decided I'll go. I go there. What do I see? I see a young Hispanic man with his young wife with two little children. They just came from church. They're wearing beautiful little dresses. He was buying them a Sunday meal. It was beautiful. Another time, I was on Fisherman's Wharf in San Francisco. There's a beautiful little chapel built right out on the wharf for fishermen to pray in before going out to fish. It was built largely for the Sicilian fishermen, by the way, who used to pray before they went fishing, in case you don't know it. Very similar to the Hispanic guys who are running the fishing boats now. Well, I went to that chapel one day behind the restaurants, and what did I see? Young Hispanic families with their little girls and boys dressed beautifully on a Sunday. And I said, this is the hope for America. This is not what the left wants you to see. They don't want to see number one, that most Hispanics are very Christian, A. B, very family-oriented. What they want to do is scare you to death with the gangbangers and then tell you not to deport them. That's the paradox of it all. They scare you with the gangbangers and then they say if you deport them, you're a racist. You hear this? All right, this is a great day. It's astounding. The phone number is 855-407-28. We have time for one 30-second call. I'm so excited right now. I hope I don't get palpitations from it. Ken on line 3, KSFO, 30 seconds or less. Go ahead, please.
Yes, okay. So Governor Brown says he's going to defy Mr. Trump, you know, immigration, climate change, and abortion. So how do you think that will play out? How will Mr. Trump handle that?
Well, it's a simple play out. On the issues where there is federal funding, for example, for the fake research, we all heard about fake news. There's a lot of fake science we should be talking about. But most climate change research is fake science. A lot of that money comes from federal funds. You go to any university, they're living off grants. Most of the grants are funded by federal money. The first thing that I would do if I were appointed by Trump as an advisor on science and medicine or science and health would be cut off all funding to all universities in America that will not have climate skeptics funded on the same basis, on par with the climate supporters, the climate change supporters. That's number one. So Trump could cut off federal funding for research right out of the NSF, NIH. There's 100 different ways that he could cut funding off to the universities. That's number one. In the streets themselves, there are numerous federal programs that support the illegal aliens that could be cut off as well, Ken. So it all comes back to the flow of money. Sanctuary cities, after all, don't run on their own. They run off federal money, largely federal money. And I think that when Trump, when it comes back to Trump's desk, he'll cut off the funds. And I think that will put a stop to this defiance. Thank you for the call. I got to go to a quick break. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. I don't have to give you my proof, you know what I mean, but I'm just telling you the way it is, and most Mexicans in this country understand one thing. You know what that is? Pride. They're amongst the most proud people I've ever met in my life. And by the way, while you're looking into this subject matter, check out the recipients of the highest medal granted by the U.S. military, the Medal of Honor. The last I checked, the largest number of Medal of Honor winners were of the Hispanic, were of Hispanic descent. They're extremely brave, great soldiers, great citizens, and most of them who are here legally support Donald Trump 100% for a number of reasons. First of all, if you cut off a flood of illegal aliens who are sucking the system dry, how do you think that's going to help? How do you think that that's going to help other people away who are hurting? Directly, because the money will be there for them. So now I just got an email, you're not going to believe this, from those who are going to oppose him. This is not here it is, SEIU's Henry. Trump executive actions prove his agenda panders to extremists. Are you listening to this? Now, you know what the SEIU is. It's the Service Employees International Union. They are the extremists. They are the people who destroyed this country. They are the people who gave us sellout politicians like Jerry Brown and destroyed one city after another by flooding illegals into the voting booths, number one. So now they're attacking him, saying that Trump's actions prove his agenda panders to extremists. Are you listening? Over protecting and defending America's working families, communities, and economy. Nothing can be farther from the truth. His agenda does not pander to extremists. The SEIU panders to extremists. The SEIU supports political extremists. The world has shifted under their feet. It's as though they've gone into a funhouse, and they're looking in a distortion mirror, and they don't believe what they're seeing is true. They cannot believe this is actually going to happen. They still think that they won the election and they can change the course of human events. They lost. It's over. We're near. We're here. We're everywhere. And Trump represents us. And we're not the extremists. You are.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
What also does the following: ends the policy of catch and release at the border, requires other countries to take back their criminals. They will take them back. Cracks down on sanctuary cities. Empowers ICE officers to target and remove those who pose a threat to public safety.
Oh, boy.
Calls for the hiring of another 5,000 Border Patrol officers. Calls for the tripling the number of ICE officers.
Oh, my God.
Need more. Creates an Office of Homeland Security dedicated to supporting the victims of illegal immigrant crime.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I feel as though I've awakened in America. This is amazing. Do you realize what a day today is? I mean, come on. The left is in recoil, in horror. They're using every word in the book: racist, extremist, marginal, this and that, Nazi, Ku Klux Klan. The extremists on the left have gotten so used to getting away with their rhetoric and their riots that they do not understand the world has shifted under their feet. Today, Trump has fulfilled his number one and two campaign promises. He's going to build a wall and end sanctuary cities. It's huge, huge, huge. And I don't know what to say to you other than what I've said. I'm very excited by all of this today. I think what I should do for you is mention that the interview tonight on ABC with John Muir. Is it John Muir? I don't even know if it's John Muir. I think he's a deceased environmentalist. Is it John? It must be his grandson. He's talking about the wall, which we'll play in a minute. I don't know how to say this to you, but do you feel differently today? Do you feel as though you're dreaming? Like, are you in a delusion? Are you pinching yourself saying this can't be the president? He's doing what we actually asked him to do. We elected him, and we never thought he'd fulfill his promises, and now he's doing it? Look, I was as skeptical as you were. The minute I saw the fight going on between the Steve Bannon nationalist side and the Rince Priebus internationalist Republican business side, I said, this is bad. And I'm afraid that the Republican Party, the Mitch McConnells and such, are going to prevail because they have so much power. They had it for so long that they're never going to let go of the reins of power. And then I wake up today and I see that the Steve Bannon nationalist side of the inner circle has won. And so Trump is fulfilling his campaign promises. It's what we voted for, isn't it? Now, you have to ask yourself, if you're not too happy today, what would he have to do to make you happy? What would Trump have to do to make you happy? Look what he did today. And if that doesn't make you happy, try to imagine day three of a Hillary Clinton a presidency. Try to imagine what her executive orders would have been by day three. You want to know what a nightmare is? Spend some time the next time you're feeling delusional and paranoiac, and put down on a piece of paper what Hillary would have done on day three with executive orders to everything that you hold dear in this country. I can give you a short list of it, believe me, but I don't think I want to bother you with that. Let's take some callers. Well, no. Let's do something else first. Let us begin with a very short soundbite of Donald Trump talking with Mr. Muir of ABC. It's very short. Listen to who's going to pay for the wall.
Are you going to direct U.S. funds to pay for this wall? Will American taxpayers pay for the wall?
Ultimately, it'll come out of what's happening with Mexico. We're going to be starting those negotiations relatively soon, and we will be in a form reimbursed by Mexico, which I've always said.
So they'll pay us back?
Yeah, absolutely, 100%.
So the American taxpayer will pay for the wall at first?
All it is we'll be reimbursed at a later date from whatever transaction we make from Mexico.
Mexico's president said in recent days that Mexico absolutely will not pay, adding that it goes against our dignity as a country and our dignity as Mexicans. He says,
well,
quite simply, they're not paying.
David, I think he has to say that. He has to say that. But I'm just telling you, there will be a payment. It will be in a form, perhaps a complicated form. And you have to understand, what I'm doing is good for the United States. It's also going to be good for Mexico. We want to have a very stable, very solid Mexico.
When does construction begin?
As soon as we can. As soon as we can physically do it. We're
within months?
I would say in months, yeah. I would say in months. Certainly planning is starting immediately.
All right, there it goes. He promised us the wall. He promised us ending sanctuary cities. He promised us deporting illegal aliens who are here and are criminals. So what more can you ask for in the first 3 days? I think I have to go out and celebrate tonight. I have to really go out and celebrate. I'm thinking of putting an American flag on the back of my jacket now. Remember when American flags were allowed to be on jackets and on the sides of arms, and cops and firemen would wear them off duty, and other guys who are real American? Remember those days? I think I'm going to do it again and just basically walk around with a chip on my shoulder with an American flag on my jacket, which says Make America Great Again, and walk around where I always walk around, in the liberal bastions of stupidity here in the Bay Area. I think that'd be great. Donna on WFTL, go ahead, 30 seconds or less, line 8, you're on the Savage Nation.
Thank you so much, Dr. Savage, for introducing Mr. Trump, now President Trump, in 2011. You have amazing foresight with that regard. And I also want to say, many people like myself, who are a grandchild of immigrants from communist countries, I think had a huge effect on this vote. And Mr. President Trump is a man of his word, and I expect great things. I'm elated.
Thank you. You're going to get a copy of what? If you name it, you gain it. What book's coming out?
Trump. I should know. I just tuned in. I'm sorry.
Sorry, you didn't make the time frame. You got to know the name of the book to get the book. It's called Trump's War, of course. All right, 855-407-2282 is the phone number. That's beautiful. KBET Las Vegas, no? Yeah, let's go to Las Vegas. I like that city. Jaron, KBET Line 4, go ahead, please.
Yes, never have I seen a president with so much class and guts, and I am everything I wanted him to do, he is doing and more. And let me say, Isaiah 5:20, woe to those who call good evil and evil good. Everything coming from the left and from the media's projection. Everything they're calling him is what they are and what Obama was. And Dr. Savage, thank you so much for being the only man I know that has a voice in radio or TV or anywhere who is sticking his neck out and making sacrifices to speak the truth. You are on point with everything, and I'm so sick of these wolves in sheep's clothing on the right that for Johnny-come-latelys, and there's already radio hosts and people out there that are already casting doubt and are turning on Trump, and he's doing these amazing things, and I was furious this morning, and I couldn't wait to call in and thank you for literally being a lifeline through the election.
Well, I've been consistent with Trump. That's the thing, is I wasn't for him and against him. I've been consistent. And I said earlier, and I'll say it again, where he goes off course, that's my job, is to make sure that he hears what the people who listen to my show believe he should be doing. It's why I wrote Trump's War, to keep him on course. But by what I see going on today, I don't think I'm going to have too many complaints with him, frankly. Do you?
No.
No, I don't see it. But stay on the line. You're getting a copy. If you name it, you gain it. What book is coming out at the end of February?
Trump's War and God Bless.
Mango, that's right. I want it to be on everyone's list. Lips. Now, before we go on to the next order of business in the court of the Savage King here, I want to direct you to something. Yesterday, I played a piece from a Sally Boynton Brown, a crazy white woman, in my opinion, who wants to be the head of the DNC, and she gave an anti-white rant that attracted enormous attention. It was originally picked up, I think, by Grabian. Am I correct? Did they get it originally? And we ran it yesterday, and I watched last night O'Reilly ran it, but he left out any of the anti-white part of it. It was very cowardly of O'Reilly, but we're used to that with him. He ran some of it, but not all of it. I ran all of it. I ran the real racist stuff that came out of her mouth about shutting whites down. O'Reilly pretended to do it, but he didn't do it. He did the O'Reilly way, which was the milquetoast way. All right, it works for him. Milquetoast has worked for him. Well, it set off such a shockwave that a website published my response to poor Sally Brown's anti-white rhetoric last night, What is the site that did it? I don't even have it here in front of me. My computer's... Zero Hedge picked it up. It's a huge story. Savage versus DNC candidate Sally Boynton Brown and anti-white Democrats. It is on michaelsavage.com and found nowhere else other than Zero Hedge. Not one other major conservative site has the guts to run the Zero Hedge piece of my show. And there is a reason for that. And that is because they are in the group that represents the opponents of Michael Savage. Although they pretend to be my friends, they are not my friends. They are the friends only of themselves. Nobody links Michael Savage except michaelsavage.com. And nobody listens to Michael Savage except the listeners of Michael Savage. I am the lone man out again. I find myself in this position both before the election, during the election, after the election. And I guess that's my fate. That's where I belong. I'm not complaining. Don't get me wrong. That's where I am. But right now it's happening again. Here's a major league piece of me dissecting the Sally Boynton Brown, doing it in the most articulate manner imaginable. It's a first-rate piece of reportage by the website that ran it. It would be great in every on every conservative website, but none of those that I go to have linked it for obvious reasons, and that is because they are prohibited from mentioning Michael Savage owing to their financial and social linkages with others in the business who are competitors of mine. It is the way the world works. I understand it, but I just want them and everyone else to know I can see through everything. God gave me a good set of eyes. So what I'm getting at is this is not sour grapes. I could care less. It's not going to change my income one way or the other. The message is what's important. Do you understand that? The message, the message, the message. I want you to understand how important messaging is. Borders, language, and culture has been my message since 1994. Well, now, after 20 hard years of killing myself, we have a president who's enacting my message of borders, language, and culture, and he's only gotten started. But I haven't stopped. I'm not finished. My messaging is as important today, if not more important, than it was when I began 22 years ago. And so I again have to fall back upon my own website, michaelsavage.com, and my own audience. So I invite you to go to michaelsavage.com because you can't find it anywhere but there and on zerohedge.com. I think you're going to love it. I was going to play it today, even in part. I don't have the time for it because Trump's speeches today trumped my playing myself on that particular situation. I'll be right back. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. You think that we don't feel imprisoned by this invasion? There's no other way to call it. There's no other word to describe what we live through here. It's an invasion. We've all learned to live with the invaders and to live with the invasion. But I think this is going to change now with President Trump and the new DHS secretary. I think things are going to happen in such a profound way and so quickly that I think that our heads will spin. And I want to talk about California for a minute because it's part and parcel with the problem with liberalism and what it has done to the rest of the nation. It was long said that California led the way. Well, that was true. It always was true. But it led the way not in all, it didn't lead the way in constructive ways in all cases, as you well know. In some ways, California led the country in very, very positive ways. And then it went off the rails and became a crazy place. A crime-ridden, crazy, insane, degenerate place that then infected the rest of the nation. And those leading the parade of depravity suddenly became national spokesmouths for depravity and held their heads high while those of us who led other lives were forced to hide and retreat. I remember when I first moved here from New York City, it was a long time ago. I love the state. I still love the geography of the state. There's no greater place on earth. I could go from sea level in San Francisco all the way up to an Arctic zone. I can go from zone 1 to zone 10 if you're into botany or you're into the environment. You know what zones are, plant zones. You know, zone 1 is Arctic and zone 10 is the tropical. I think I still have that right. So I can drive from one zone to the other in a few hours. I can go from a sea level location to high peaks with 8 feet, 10 feet, 12 feet, 15 feet of snow. in a short drive, a few hours, 4 hours from the Bay Area right up to the, actually 3 hours I could be at the summit if I'm really trucking and it's not a storm. So it's always been magnificent for me to go up and see those granite peaks. I love the state of California. I always have and I always will. I've had a love affair with it from the day I first saw it. It's why I moved here. And then when I had children, I realized this was the promised land for me. I was an immigrant to this state from another state, and an immigrant in many, many other ways, culturally, socially, and other ways. And my children were going to have to go to school. I was a poor man. I was just a graduate student and a scholar. I didn't have much money. I was always struggling. I knew I had to have my children go to college. It was a must. I knew I'd support them in any way I could. I could probably pay tuition. I'd probably pay a little room and board. That's about all I could afford. I couldn't pay any more. But I knew we had some of the greatest colleges on the planet at the time, which we did, by the way. The schools in California, when I moved here in the 70s, were the best in the nation. They are now amongst the worst in the world. Did you know that? So when you say California, which California are you talking about? The one I moved to or the one destroyed by Jerry Brown and his liberal cohorts? Think about it very carefully. They're not the same California. Anyway, to get back to my little odyssey, when my son, God bless him, first went to school, the first grade in a little town north of San Francisco, a little school bus, actually a big yellow school bus, came to the corner of the town by a creek and picked him up with all the other little kids. I couldn't be happier. He went to a beautiful little school. And I said to myself, you know what? He could go to college for almost free, go to grad school for almost free. He can go to med school or law school if he wants. And we can afford to live here because this is the greatest state for a middle-class person that you have ever seen. And then it all changed. The illegitimate left seized the power structure of this state. Right down to the local level, they started catering to non-citizens, stealing all of the benefits that were supposed to go to the taxpayer and giving them to an invading class like never seen before. Catering to the invaders, glorifying the invaders, spitting on the natives in a way you could never imagine. And it's still going on. It hasn't changed yet, but it will. Mark my words, it will.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
The Dubs, could this be magic on the Savage Nation? Welcome back to the top 100 hits on the Savage Nation today. Yeah, I feel like a DJ today. After all, the lefters always call me just a shock jock. Well, I'm just a shock jock, doing the best I can, trying to figure things out. I know I'm not as smart as Will Flitzer or Jake Tapper, but I do my best. I try my best. And those books that I have written that became bestsellers, it's just the best we can do in the shock jock business. And all of you deplorables out there are as well mentally deficient and not as good as the smart liberals who know that illegal aliens are superior to you. That white people are racist and suffer from delusions of power and madness, who have raped the earth and killed the poor, innocent people of color for centuries and raped the earth and killed the whales and God knows what else you've done, and that you don't actually deserve to not only live, but you shouldn't even be on this planet. And that's the smart news coming out of the fake newsers out there, but the dumb news is the news that I give you, which is borders, language, and culture. Now, how dumb can you get? How dumb can you get, Michael, that you actually believe in borders, language, and culture? Why, that's what they said to me and about me for 20 years. They called me every name under the sun. They marched outside the KSMO radio studios when the Dreamers marched. They wanted me thrown off the air. Do you remember that? Does anyone remember that? Does anyone remember the rallies that I held 20 years ago, long before the Tea Party? Does anyone remember the issues that I tried to champion outside the federal building when I appeared in an armored car? Yes, I did. Back in the 90s, when I was a local host on KSFO, they rented an armored car for me, and I went in front of the federal building and gave a speech. It was one of the great days of my life. You know why? Because the truckers in the San Francisco area who listened to me religiously, I'm talking the guys who drive the big rigs, they threatened to block every bridge going in and out of the Bay Area if anything were done to stop that rally. That's what they were willing to do. They were really willing to close down the bridges and close down the highways. It was a great rally. So we've been at this for a long time here. The battle plan has been out there for a very long time. And right now we have a new general. The general is Trump. It's as though I was screaming in the wilderness. I had a lot of followers on radio. but there were no followers in the political world. Very, very few politicians would sing the praises of the message of borders, language, and culture. Well, then a man came along named Donald Trump who listened very carefully to what you wanted. And so the left said, well, he got his ideas from radio, and then he just pandered to the extremists out there. You know, we're the extremists, you get it? The taxpayers, we're the extremists, not the psycho-liberals from you-know-where. All right, so he told us what we wanted to hear, and we backed him every step of the way during the primary. And then he told us what we wanted to hear, and we backed him every step of the way in his debates with Hillary. And then by some miracle, he won. No matter how they try to rig the system, no matter how many illegal aliens were ushered into the voting booths, and believe me, I'll talk about that again in a minute. He won. By some miracle, he won. They tried every trick in the book to stop him, didn't they? They couldn't stop him legitimately. They said, okay, we're going to stop him with the voters there. I'm so excited right now. My mind's not working as fast as it normally does. Normally, I have a V16 operating with perfect harmony. The Electoral College. Right now, I'm like a 16-cylinder engine running too fast. I better slow it down a bit. All right, so they said, no, we'll stop him at the Electoral College. Remember? Then they said they're going to assassinate him before the... Remember what was going on in the media? Do you remember what was going on? Well, now he's the president. It's day three, and he's cracked down on the illegal aliens, closed down the sanctuary cities, put in place at least the laws to do so, put a real American patriot in the Department of Homeland Security instead of that fraud, Jay Johnson, who, by the way, should be investigated for what he did to this country. You know, I'm not just happy now with, hey, happy days are here again. I want all the people who did this to this nation to pay for it. I want the former DHS chairman to be called before a hearing, and I want to know why he let the Muslims put off the bombs in this country and not never, ever, ever would say Islam or Muslim. Ever! It could be done. There could be justice. There could be a people's court. Believe me, there's so much that needs to be done. This is only day three. But don't think that those people who destroyed this country and screwed us over royally and let one terrorist act after another occur, let millions of illegal aliens pour in, many of whom had diseases, including Zika, get away with it. There's a price to be paid. What about the former head of the Centers for Disease Control? Where'd that little weasel go? When I got on this show over and over again, I said, how could a man run the CDC and let diseased immigrants come in here, including people with Zika from the Honduras? Obama was bringing them in by the trainload. Many of them were and are infected, as well as people with tuberculosis and diseases that were eradicated in this country through decades of hard work by public health workers. The scientific and medical community had eradicated numerous diseases that were limited in number and only seen in the third world. And then this illegitimate administration under Barry Obama broke the borders, deballed the Border Patrol, and flooded them in by the trainload. You remember the summers where he brought in all the young women with babies into this country from Honduras, telling us that we had an obligation to take care of them? Now, let me ask you something. Let's say you're a compassionate person. Can you explain to me who's taking care of those 13, 14, and 15-year-old girls from Honduras who came here with babies? They're living on the dole. They're living on welfare. They're living on food stamps. They have the free housing that should go to America's poor. They have the food stamps that go to America's poor, the elderly, the veterans lying in the gutters. Where do you think the money was diverted from? It was diverted from the veterans. It was diverted from legitimate American citizens, some of whom have families that have been here since the Revolutionary War. They were screwed over by the illegitimate administration that just left the White House. It's only day three. This is a huge change for all of us. It's probably very hard for those of you listening to even catch up to what just happened today. But the earth just shifted under our feet. Trump was not all talk. He is now action. And his actions are exactly what he promised, which is why the fake news outlets cannot believe what they are seeing. And so they're getting up with all these stories now. Trump says that the illegal aliens didn't vote for him. How can he prove that? Well, yesterday I used plain logic, and I'll use it again now. The illegitimate newsers like I don't even know their names. I can't remember them. Blitzer and all of them, you know. To me, they're like reindeer on Santa's sleigh. They're all one and the same. Andrea Mitchell is probably one of the most vile of all of them. You know who her husband is? You know who Andrea Mitchell's husband is? He ran the Federal Reserve. You didn't know that? Oh, yeah, Greenspan. Oh, yeah, that's the taking of Pelham 1-2-3. Andrea and Greenspan, they've had it real good for a long time. So now she's become one of the most vile left-wing mouthpieces in the country. So she interviews one radical member of La Raza after another, trying to debase Trump. When Trump said that he actually won the popular vote, if you excluded the 3 to 5 million illegal aliens who voted, they went berserk. So this is the new attack on Trump. He lied. He made that. You prove it. Prove that illegals voted. Why there's no proof illegals voted. That's outrageous. He's a liar. Now, that's the new attack. That's this attack du jour of the day. The attack of the day, which is going to last for the rest of the week, is that Trump lied when he said illegals voted for him. He says, you prove it. Go prove it, Trump. Well, I said yesterday the reverse is true. No, Andrea Mitchell, you have to prove that they didn't vote. See, you have to prove that illegal aliens did not vote. That's the real burden here is on you, not on us. Now you say, well, what do you mean the burden's on us? Trump said they voted. Right, I would assume they did. Let's use common sense together, which I know is at a great scarcity in the media and in the government. Let's just use common sense together. If you have laws in place, which they have all over America, which you cannot use voter ID in a polling place, would you then assume logically that at least one person voted illegally somewhere in America? Say, yeah, sure. At least one person could have theoretically voted illegally in America. Is that right or wrong? I'm trying to use Aristotelian logic, something that's gone out the window, but I learned it in college when I had to read Aristotle in mathematics, mathematical formulae rather than in words. So it's actually bulletproof logic. So let's use logic together, something Andrea Mitchell never got in boarding school. So let's use logic again. Okay, if you have no voter ID laws, and I know we don't, because when I go to vote in California and I show up at the polling place where I'm registered to vote, and I take out my driver's license and I try to show it to them, you know what the little old wobbly communist ladies with gray hair and granny glasses say to me? Oh, no, you don't have to show us that. Please put your license away. I said, what do you mean I don't have to show it to you? How do you know it's even me? Oh, no, no, we don't want any ID. They don't even want it. All of the Communist League of Women Voters out there, they don't want any voter ID. So let's assume that because you cannot even show ID when you want to, anyone from anywhere in the world could have voted in this state or any other state once, twice, 10 times. Is that right? Logically, it's true. Couldn't they just have voted? So logically, if one person could have voted illegally, isn't it logical that two persons could have voted illegally? Well, sure, Mike, one or two. Well, if it's one or two, couldn't it be more than one or two, logically? Well, yeah, logically, it could be more than one or two. It could be three. Yeah, it could be three. It could be 300. It could be 3,000. It could be 3 million, couldn't it? If you cannot prove that you had any checks on who could have voted and who could have voted numerous times, therefore, it's on your back, Andrea Mitchell, to prove that illegal aliens in the millions did not vote in previous elections. And on that wonderful note of Aristotelian logic, Aristotle Savage will take a break.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. We're all sitting here saying, can this be true that Trump is ending sanctuary cities? Check yes. Can this be true that Trump is building the wall? Check yes. Can this be true that he put a real American into the Department of Homeland Security, General Flynn? Check yes. So it's an amazing day. People are going to have to actually absorb all of this. And in a few seconds, actually a few minutes, I'm going to talk about restaurants now lobbying to retain illegal immigrants. They're trying to make their restaurants sanctuary restaurants. You're not going to believe this story in a few minutes, but frankly, I got to tell you about a great product. It's my friends at Chamonix, a great advertiser. They've supported me for a long time. And they just got this letter from Doris in Boca Raton, Florida, who said, I love Chamonix. My skin has never looked better, and my friends can't believe how much younger I look with Esthétique XV. The appearance of my fine lines and wrinkles have diminished. The results have made me feel and look great. Thanks, Chamonix. Well, look, what is there a better way to start 2017 by looking 15, even 20 years younger? Why don't you just take my advice and call Chamonix right now to try Esthétique XV? It's free. It's risk-free. And for the first time ever, you get Chamonix's brand-new Genucel Dark Circle Treatment absolutely free with your order. Genucel Dark Circle Treatment precisely targets the dark circles under and around your eyes for a beautiful and flawless look. You call 800-SKIN-891. 800-SKIN-891, and you get Esthétique XV for yourself. If you order now, Chamonix will also throw in a top-selling Genucel for bags and puffiness, which is also free. What do you got to lose? Call 800-SKIN-891 or visit www.xvbeauty.com. If you don't see results, you don't pay. It's that easy, right? 800-SKIN-891. 800-SKIN-891. Now on to the news on the Savage Nation. Take a guess how many illegals are working in the restaurant business. Do you have any idea? Well, we have the numbers for you. Apparently, an estimated 1.3 million in the industry, restaurant industry, are immigrants living in the country illegally, according to a left-wing group, Restaurant Opportunity Centers United. They launched the campaign, basically a front group for La Raza, the invasion force, and there are 12 million workers in the restaurant industry. We all know immigrants make up the majority, including up to 70% in big cities such as New York and Chicago. But 1.3 million in the restaurant industry are immigrants living illegally. And so the restaurants are now trying to pitch a new program, 80 restaurants so far in New York, Minneapolis, Detroit, Boston, Oakland, California, and Ann Arbor, Michigan, all very, very left-wing cities. They're sanctuary cities. And what they're doing now is putting out an order that their restaurants become sanctuary places. I don't have no idea how that's going to work, but we know that it's going to set off a firestorm. This is going to change everything in the country. Now, it was started by churches, as you well know, because the church is probably one of the greatest engines generating illegal aliens in the United States of America. The most egregious of all the church groups are, the most egregious of the groups are the Catholic Church and, of course, the Episcopalian Church, and I can name all of the others. They're the ones making billions of dollars a year through their satellite businesses like Catholic Charities, which is a business that has nothing to do with Jesus. It has nothing to do with religion. It is part of Religion Incorporated. Catholic Charities and the other groups are what Lenny Bruce termed Religion Incorporated. They're wholly owned business subsidiaries of a church, masking themselves as religious groups, but they're nothing but opportunists making billions of dollars a year from federal grants. Now, you asked before how Trump could end this. If he cuts off the billions of dollars that Obama funneled to Catholic Charities and Baptist Family Services and Jewish Family Services, I can name all the groups. They're all in my great book, Trump's War. If Trump cuts off the money that's been going to Catholic Charities, Baptist Family Services, and the others, that's the end of a lot of the sanctuary cities right there, by the way. Because these church groups will go out of business. They're living off the taxpayer. And so, when you go into these restaurants, and you see who is washing the dishes, who is cooking the food, who is waiting at tables, you ask yourself, what's going to happen if there's a massive, not deportation, because these workers are not going to be deported. It's the illegals who are here who have committed crimes, who have been arrested, who will be deported. But these people are probably going to get frightened and start to leave the country. Who's going to take their jobs? That's what I want to know. Who is going to wash the dishes? Who is going to cook the food? Who's going to serve the food? Are you going to do it? This is the big question of the day. And I don't have the immediate answer, by the way.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Our order also does the following. Ends the policy of catch and release at the border. Requires other countries to take back their criminals. They will take them back. Cracks down on sanctuary cities. Empowers ICE officers to target and remove those who pose a threat to public safety.
Wow.
Calls for the hiring of another 5,000 Border Patrol officers. Calls for the tripling the number of ICE officers.
You hear what Obama did to this more. Country?
Creates an Office of Homeland Security dedicated to supporting the victims
this?
Of illegal immigrant crime.
Can you believe what you're hearing? Can you believe what you're hearing in America? That America is back and we have a general leading us in this counter-revolution to take our nation back from the hordes that have overrun us? It's going to be a battle. Make no mistake about it. I call it Trump's war, which is why I'm finishing the book around the clock. But I want to focus in this hour on the roughly 12 million workers in the restaurant industry, of whom immigrants make up about 70% in big cities such as New York and Chicago. Now, of the 70% of the 12 million, about 1.3 million are immigrants living in the nation illegally. They're illegal aliens. And they're pitching a program called, I don't know what they call it, something along the lines of Sanctuary Restaurant. And they're trying to create a sanctuary restaurant movement, which is kind of ludicrous in a certain way because federal law will trump some jerk who owns a delicatessen in Oakland, California. We all know that restaurants follow anti-discrimination policies, as do all businesses. We all know that they need illegal aliens in order to make more money, because they pay them less money than they would pay an American citizen. Right, so, you know, there's a two-edged sword to this whole restaurant thing. One is, you can hear all of the malarkey that you want about how they're all good liberals who are doing it for the poor workers who are terrified, and they're taking them in, and they can play Anne Frank, you know, the owners. But there's another side to it, which is that they're getting away with paying them lower wages than they would a worker who had to pay, who they'd have to pay a legitimate wage. And there's, you know, look, a person who has to make a living any way they can. So if they want to couch it with humanitarianism, they'll do so. But this is going to set off a shockwave. Now that Trump has said he's going to step up deportations, a wall along the Mexican border, the restaurant industry in particular is extremely vulnerable. Now, not all owners of restaurants hire illegal aliens. And not all of them agree with the sanctuary restaurant movement. The National Restaurant Association, which represents about 500,000 businesses, is pushing for an immigration overhaul, which includes an updated verification system that confirms employees' eligibility to work in the country legally. Okay? That's a big deal. And they want to work with the Trump administration on ways to make verification easier and more cost efficient. Now, we all know that restaurants run off immigrants. Most everyone listening to the show goes to a restaurant now and again, whether it's a corner diner somewhere in the outlying cities or towns or a big city restaurant. If you're not blind and deaf and dumb, you see who is doing the work in the restaurants, whether it be washing the dishes, cooking the food, or serving the food. So I'd like to ask the audience of this show, whether you're a restaurant owner, I don't care if you're a liberal, a conservative, a communist, if you're in the restaurant business, who is going to take those jobs? Forget about the high-flying rhetoric about racism and this and that. Who is going to take those jobs? I'll give you an example. You know, we all focus on Hispanic-speaking restaurant workers. Do you have any idea how many illegals come in from China? If you go to Chinatown in San Francisco, how many of these workers are citizens? Nobody knows. How many of them are illegal aliens? Nobody knows. How many have been brought in as almost virtual slaves or working for almost nothing? Nobody knows. How is it going to impact Chinese restaurants in San Francisco and elsewhere in the country? I don't know. I'd like to talk about that. Who's going to take the jobs? Are you telling me the young people here in America, we're looking for work, we're going to do these jobs? Now, I've been in my life, yeah, I'll say it again, I come from a working class background. I mean, what does it mean, working class? I love working class. What, I have a certain W on my head? What does it mean? My father was an immigrant. I had to work from the time I was in school, but I worked before I was in college. I worked in high school. I worked in a pharmacy as an illegal pharmacist when I was 14. I did a lot of stuff, and I learned every step of the way. I worked as a busboy. I worked as a waiter. I worked as a lifeguard. I've done a lot of stuff. I worked in a factory. Yeah, I worked in an ice cream factory. The hardest job of my whole life was working on a production line in an ice cream factory in Long Island City. I'll tell you that story another day. I think I've told it once or twice over the 20-year career. That's tough work. It's murderously hard work. And I respect the people who can do this work. It's murder. But I don't think the Americans are able to do this work anymore. That's what I'd like to know. I want to know who's going to do this work. Okay? KSMO, Mario, Line 9, go ahead, please.
Yes, hi. Hello. I'm going to get a better connection here. Hello.
Yes, go on.
I think that young people will fill it. I think it's going to take a while for the job market to balance itself out a little bit. But once wages aren't being driven down by illegal immigration, once wages are a little bit more enticing for citizens to come in and get those entry-level jobs.
Mary, are you a college graduate?
No, I'm not. I got my first job washing dishes when I was 15 years old.
So what do you currently do for a living?
I'm a cook now. I started as a dishwasher. I've been a cook. I've been a chef. I've managed restaurants. I've worked front.
So you're actually saying from the inside as a chef, a lot of these jobs that illegals currently hold would be taken by American workers if the wages were better.
I think so. And, you know, and American citizens, whether they're immigrants, but not illegal immigrants, illegal immigration drives the wages down. These people do work hard. They do fill positions that, you know, at the first glance, it's, yes, Americans don't want to do this job. It's something Americans don't want to do the job. Something young Americans don't want to do the job. It's just that young Americans don't want to do the job for basically slave wages. And once again, minimum wage also plays a part in this. When you mandate a big high minimum wage on an industry like the restaurant industry that has low profit margins also, it kind of adds to the problem, and I think that...
Now, I have a different take on minimum wage from most so-called doctrinaire conservatives, because I have worked for minimum wage, and I don't know how anybody could work for less than a minimum wage in this country. How do you make a living and live in this country without a minimum wage? How do you do that?
Well, I don't think minimum wage is meant to make a living on. It's an entry-level job position for you to...
I understand that. That's the rhetoric. That's the doctrinaire conservative memo. But let's boil it down to a man going home from a job as a busboy or a waiter in a restaurant. He has to go live somewhere, and most cities are unaffordable to begin with. Where is he going to live?
Well, I look at it from this point of view, living in the Bay Area. San Francisco, other Bay Area cities, Oakland, they mandate a minimum wage across the board. That's for the people that work in the back of the house and the people that work in the front of the house. Now, the people who work in the front of the house are already making $60, $70 an hour, even more considering...
Wait, explain that. How does a waiter make $70 an hour?
With tips. Waiters in these great restaurants in San Francisco are killing it. I mean, I know wait people that if they don't leave a shift making $300, the job isn't even worth it for them to go to.
Does any of that money get shared with the cook? I'm just curious. In a wait pool, I know when I tip, it goes in a pool. But does the cook get any of that money, the chef?
Some restaurants do that. By law, it's not legal for the restaurant to make the wait person do that. They're not allowed to mandate that the wait person does that.
Really? So you may make less money as a chef than a waiter does?
Oh, absolutely. If you're a chef, you'll get paid a salary, but then you're going to work 60, 70 hours a week for that salary, so, you know, the return goes down.
See, I didn't know that. I assumed that the tips were shared not only with all the workers, but also with the chef. But we don't know. Maybe there should be a separate... You know, in San Francisco, it's gotten so sick. If you look at a check in a restaurant, you have to check. There's additional taxes for health care. What's the percentage now that they put on 2 years ago or 3 years ago? They tacked it on for the glorious socialist health care cost. What was that? What percent went on the bill? A tax on top of the tax on top of the tax for health care. How much was that? Do you have any idea, Mario?
I want to say when I look at my check, it's like 10 or 15% extra or something. It might even be more.
By Do you now. Know that I know people who own restaurants that there's a flower tax on it, F-L-O-W-E-R, that if they put flowers on the table, the criminals in the government have made them pay an additional tax, which they have to pass on to the customer? You have any? You do know all of this. It's unbelievable to me what they do to people. Mario, if you name it, you gain it. What's the name of my book coming out late February?
Trump's War.
Bingo! You see, a smart chef gets a free book. This is the Savage Nation. Time for another quick call. The minute I come back, right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Stop, Robert. I'm getting embarrassed. My God, how Neanderthal can you get? Okay, so the airheads in the liberal press are going berserk today. The airheads left over from the Obama administration literally had the rug pulled out from under them. They've fallen on their you-know-whats today because Donald Trump has declared sanctuary cities are going to be over. He wrote an executive order. He's started the construction of the wall with the stroke of a pen. He's done everything Obama did, meaning he's using the techniques that the golfer used that the media had no problem with when the thin snake was doing it. The media was clapping. Oh, yeah, he has the right to do that. He can do executive orders. Why, they all do it. Well, now that Trump's doing it, let's see if Andrea Mitchell doesn't have a fit. Okay, but we're talking down to earth today. We're talking about sanctuary cities coming to an end. Now, what that actually will mean on the ground is another story. You're going to have people defying it and fighting it and screaming about it to show that they're in solidarity with the illegals. You know what's coming, because the illegals voted for them in the millions. That we all know. That's a given. That's why Pelosi and Feinstein fought so hard to have San Francisco a sanctuary city. How else could those people stay in office for so long doing what they do on a daily basis? Why would they still have power? Are you telling me that even most of the, let us say, even Democrats in the state of California believe a word that those women say and don't see right through them? They do see them, for what they are. So they have a voter base of illegal aliens, that's my opinion, and they're not going to let go of it so fast. Jerry Brown, nice guy, terrific man, very smart man. And Jerry Brown, of course, had the unions behind him. That's how he became governor again. SEIU, Service Employees International, they backed him 100%. Now, let me ask you something. If a large percentage of service employees are here illegally, does that not tell you that the voters are here illegally? That's another piece of my argument. You're saying, oh, the voters proved that the illegal aliens didn't vote. Well, I'll say to you again, if a large percentage of the unions, like the SEIU, are illegal aliens, they're not citizens, which they are not citizens, and they voted, how can you tell me that they didn't sway elections in this state when we all know that they did? See? So what's going to happen when the sanctuary city laws go into effect? Now, what does the law mean? You're going to have people going into restaurants and demanding to see work papers. That's what's going to happen. You're going to see them demanding immigration status. The 5,000 new Border Patrol agents are not all going to be on the Mexican border. They're liable to be in every city in the country that is populated by illegal aliens. They're going to demand to see work papers on job sites, whether they be restaurants or construction sites. So things are going to change very quickly. And so let us say cities defy Trump. What are Trump's options? He doesn't have to become robustly fascistic to enforce his anti-sanctuary city policy. It's really simple. He cuts off federal funding. Stroke of a pen, federal funding dries up. You look at congressional budget committees. I happen to know the head of one of them. They have the power to cut funding off the sanctuary cities tomorrow, and they will do it. In fact, I'm going to try to get Congressman Culberson on tomorrow. Remember him? He used to be on the show fairly regularly, Robert. He's in charge of one of the big budget committees in Congress. Let's see what he says they're going to do with regard to defunding sanctuary cities. Because when he was on the show while the skinny, snaky golfer was president, he tried to do it and he got blocked by all of the fascisti on the left. So let's see if old Congressman Culberson can be found and if he's going to do anything about it. But who's going to do these jobs? That's what I want to know. Who's going to take these jobs? Albert, KSFO, line 3, fire away, 30 seconds or less. Who's going to take the jobs?
Michael, with 8 years of Obama, and you look at the unemployment rate among blacks alone, just in California, law-abiding citizens, I think that's a perfect opportunity. You know, some are in college, some are unemployed, so I think it'll be filled up rather quickly.
But you're targeting, you're saying African Americans are going to line up for the jobs as the illegals go back to their home country. African Americans are going to take those jobs.
The ones that are in school, the one that's looking for work, the one that's been disenfranchised by Obama administration. Yes, absolutely.
Well, we'll have to wait and see. I don't know. I really don't know. I have no idea who's going to take these jobs. I want to make it even harder for the audience. You may be celebrating today. Who's going to work in the fields? Have you ever driven past a field and seeing who the field workers are? Have you ever tried to work in a field for more than 10 minutes? Bent over in a trench in the hot sun? Okay, so go back and read The Grapes of Wrath. I know many people will start to say in talk radio, all Americans will take the job. Yeah, right, they'll take the jobs, really? The Americans of today are not the John Steinbeck characters of The Grapes of Wrath. Great book, very important book. It's when all white people who were sharecroppers were working in the fields the way Mexicans and illegal aliens from other countries are doing it. It's the hardest job on the planet. Getting up at dawn and working until dusk in the most horrendous conditions you can imagine in a civilized country. But people are still doing it. Well, who's going to do it? Are you going to get chain gangs to do it? Are you going to take them out of prisons if they're in low security prisons and give them the option of working in a field? Maybe that's an opportunity. How do you know they wouldn't do it? How do you know that people in low security or low risk prison populations, let us say a month, or let's say 6 months from release, wouldn't volunteer to go work in the fields just to get out of the prison? I think they would. So there's another potential pool of labor. Am I wrong or right? I didn't say force them. I said ask them. Give them the option. Many men would like to work in the fields rather than sit in the hellhole of a prison. Ideas, that's all.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
All right, as you expect, I'm going to be first up with the first reaction to Trump moving to build a border wall and cut sanctuary city funds. So right away, here in the city I love so much, San Francisco, the mayor, San Francisco Mayor Lee, says that he's going to block Trump and the city remains a sanctuary. Now that's grandstanding because it means very little, and I'll tell you in a minute why. But he gave a speech already, the mayor of the city, said that San Francisco will not allow its immigrant residents to live in fear. And then he said, I'm here today to say we're still a sanctuary city. Mayor Lee said, we stand by our sanctuary city. Now listen carefully. Because we want everybody to feel safe and utilize the services they deserve, including education and health care. Are you listening to me? Now you understand the racket involved in education and health care. Billions of dollars stolen under the guise of helping immigrants. Billions of dollars grifted by everyone you could ever imagine in this city. Now let me go into the details. Trump's executive order that he issued today, I have it right in my hands, says, quote, all federal grants except as deemed necessary for law enforcement will be blocked, but doesn't elaborate on what that means. Did you hear what I said? So he's going to block all federal grants except those deemed necessary for law enforcement. What does it come down to? Trump then goes on and says, we're going to get the bad ones out. The criminals and drug dealers and gangsters and gang leaders. The day is over when they can stay in our country and wreak havoc. Now, how much money is involved? Let's get down to brass tacks. Sanctuary City of San Francisco receives about $1 billion from the federal government, Dianne Feinstein. Nancy Pelosi, pay careful attention. $1 billion, that's about 10% of the city's $9.6 billion budget, comes from the federal government. In addition to that, or part of that, Mayor Lee said the city receives around $10 million in specific federal grants from Homeland Security. Really? The Department of Homeland Security that does nothing under Obama? San Francisco received $6.9 million from the Department of Homeland Security in 2016-17 under the Urban Area Security Initiative. That money's going to dry up. So Mayor Lee, after saying that he's going to support all the illegals and block Trump, is now saying that Trump's funding cuts to sanctuary cities is vague, and it's too soon to say exactly how much money the city stood to lose. Now, among the city agencies and programs that are likely to be affected in San Francisco are the MTA, the Municipal Transportation Agency, which received more than $200 million in federal funds over the last 2 years, welfare programs, including food stamps, the new Department of Homelessness and Supportive Housing, which receives $30 million annually for supportive housing and other services, the DA's office, which receives about $1.68 million a year in federal funding, and pay attention, Medicaid reimbursements that allow for free or low-cost health coverage to low-income people, meaning illegal aliens. So, yeah, Mayor Lee can grandstand all he wants and put up a united front against the racist Donald Trump, but when it comes down to brass tacks, $1 billion is quite a bit of change for Mayor Lee to make up for. And when he finally says to the city residents, I'll tell you what, we're going to stick by our principles here, and we're going to tell Trump to shove it. We don't need that $1 billion. What we're going to do is raise property taxes by another 10%. Then I want to hear what happens from all the good liberals on Pacific Heights and in the marina when they realize their property tax are going to have to go up to pay for the illegal aliens because the rest of the country is no longer paying for it. That's going to be the fun day. That's going to be a more fun day than today when the $1 billion that the city receives from the federal government is cut off and the city says we have to raise sales tax, property taxes, you name it, to make up for the loss that the evil racist Donald Trump is denying us so we can give housing and education and so many other, quote, services to the poor immigrants in our city. Well, that's going to be the day. That'll be the day. I'm waiting for that one. I love the word services that the Mayor Lee talks about. This is a big liberal word, services. It's bothered me for 30 years every time another one of those mean-faced, clipped-haired, granny-glass women would say, they deserve the services, including education and health care. What they mean is they deserve their cushy little jobs and pensions, the administrators, that is. So this is a huge day. Huge day. A lot of things are going to change. And, you know, San Francisco became a sanctuary city in 1989. And in the beginning, it was thought to be a small program. It's now ballooned into something out of control. According to estimates using 2014 data, which is completely false, they say there are 44,000 people undocumented and living in San Francisco. That's a lie. Now, there's about 300 sanctuary cities nationwide, including L.A., New York, Chicago, Oakland, Berkeley, and San Jose. The fact of the matter is, the 2015 assassination of 32-year-old Catherine Steinle on Pier 14 was the Fort Sumter of the anti-sanctuary city movement. That was the shot heard around the world. When Steinle's alleged killer, Juan Francisco Lopez Sanchez, who had been deported 5 times, opened fire on this poor girl walking with her father, and she turned and said, Dad, and died, everyone's heart was broken except the psycho libs. Less than 3 months before the killing, Juan Francisco Lopez Sanchez had been released from San Francisco jail rather than being turned over to federal immigration authorities. That was the shot heard around the world, the bullet that killed Kate Steinle. She is the martyr of this sanity that has finally taken over the country. In fact, I would say that if Kate Steinle had not been killed, listen to this statement that I'm about to make. I don't think Trump would have been elected. I think that so many small things added up to such a small victory, a small win in that regard, that her death motivated so many people, not only in San Francisco, but around the country, whose hearts were broken, to recognize the danger that many illegal aliens posed to us, that they became activated for the first time in their lives after that poor young woman was shot by this illegal alien. By the way, there's another part to that story that still troubles me, that is the shooting of Kate Steinle on the pier here in San Francisco, Pier 14. The gun that was used to kill her had been stolen a few days before from a federal agent. Who was the federal agent who left his gun or her? Who was the federal agent who left her gun or his gun in the car to be stolen? Do you know that last week machine guns were stolen from an FBI car, I think, somewhere in America? Really, who was the FBI agent who would leave a machine gun in a car? I think, frankly, that these guns were left in the car to be stolen. That's my personal feeling. For reasons that I can kind of fathom why they're doing it, why they want someone to break in and steal the guns. I kind of know. It's a little along, it's along the lines of the guns that went into Mexico right at the beginning of the Obama tenure. If you remember that one. Remember the catch, what was that called? The Fast and Furious. I remember that. My mind is working and the V16 just kicked into gear. Remember the beginning of the Obama administration? There was a big scandal about the Fast and Furious guns that Eric Holder covered up for, dummied up on, it wouldn't testify on. When thousands of machine guns and other weapons of mass murder were sent over the border to Mexico. And, of course, the object, as we came to know years later, was that they wanted crimes to be committed here in America by illegal aliens with these guns so people would scream against guns. The exact opposite happened. What happened was is people started to scream out about against the illegal aliens, which, of course, makes sense, something that the liberals apparently lack. But nevertheless, it's happening again. Too many federal agents are leaving too many weapons and cars to be stolen. I'd like to know more about that. That's what I'd like to know about. Now, I want to take this call on who's going to take the jobs if the illegals go home. And I'm asking the callers who own restaurants or work in restaurants to call me. I think that that's what we need to know. Steve on WNTW in Virginia, thank you for calling the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. Apparently, you own a restaurant, Steve. Steve, are you there? Go ahead, please. 1, 2, 3.
You hear me okay?
Yes. Go ahead. Talk.
I was in the construction business for 25 years in Florida.
Right.
And I had a crew of about 10 illegals that worked for me. And I worked these guys not because I paid them less, because they were hard workers.
Agreed. I understand. They're the hardest workers in the world. I've watched them work. I've even extolled their work ethic. I've seen it on construction sites, and I talk about it. So you're saying they work harder than most other people? I would agree with you.
Well, I worked for many, many years. I worked the average white guy, black guy, anybody that would come to work for me. And they were the same guys. They were all addicted to drugs. They all smoked dope. They all drank head too heavy. You were lucky if they showed up to work on Monday. They hated their job. They hated you. And it was a disaster. But it was, well, this is life. And we ended up having a major hurricane that came through town in 2004. And a lot of Mexicans started coming in at that point. I hired about 8 to 10 of them. And I was in heaven. I couldn't believe it. These guys would go out of their way to help me unload the truck. They would say yes, sir, no, sir. They would show up early. They would leave late. They would work 7 days a week, whatever you asked for them. And I paid them like anybody else. But their attitude and the way they worked was great. And they were teachable. And they liked what they did.
Well, I'm not denying it. In fact, I've said the same thing myself. I've said it today. I've said it before. And incidentally, Steve, I am on record, and I'll repeat my statement again today, and I don't think Trump's talking about deporting workers, by the way. He's focusing on deporting illegal aliens who've committed multiple felonies and are in prison. I think you know that, correct?
Yes, absolutely. And I believe that
illegal aliens or non-citizens, whichever way you want to put it, to call them undocumented if you want to feel better about yourself, who have jobs here and are really working, I don't think they're going to be touched at all. I frankly think they're going to be legalized under Trump. How do you like that?
I'm now married to a former illegal. She and her husband both came over here illegally. He since passed away from cancer. My wife passed away, and she and I met a few years ago. And she is now a citizen. She received her papers a year before she married me. But she knows, firsthand the whole story of coming.
Right, but I think I want to assure you, because by what I'm seeing, Trump's never said he's going to deport 11 million illegals. That's something Andrea Mitchell would like to have people believe. He's not going to do a crackdown and a roundup with Nazis running around with batons breaking in doors. That's not happening. He's going to do what I wrote about in Scorched Earth. I never said deport illegal aliens. I'm on record saying deport the illegal aliens in prison. That's what Trump said he's going to do today. Those who are dangerous, those who committed crimes, they're going, not the workers. I think the workers are in good shape, Steve, personally.
You know what? They don't hear that. They're afraid.
Yes. No, I understand that because the liberal media is scaring them to death. They did this in order to have them vote for Hillary Clinton. The liberal media has used the illegal aliens over and over again with scare tactics, saying Trump's a Nazi who's going to come around with, like, fascists, break the door down and kick you out. It's not going to happen, Steve. And I think that soon the illegals are going to start to sigh with relief when they realize they're going to be some of the biggest beneficiaries of Trump's immigration policies, strangely enough, because once they get rid of the gangs and the gangsters who are terrifying, ask yourself this question. You may know this better than I do. Who do the illegal alien gangsters prey upon? They prey mainly upon immigrant communities, am I right?
Absolutely.
All right, so the immigrant communities are more afraid of the black hand than the average community is. And I guarantee you that once the gangs are kicked out of the country, if Trump actually does that, the immigrant communities are going to thank him for it. That's what I think. Steve, thank you for calling the Savage Nation. Boy, this is someday. This is someday. So let me ask you a loaded question. I've been on record with it. It's in Trump's war. I've been on record with it in, I think, going back to Government Zero and Scorched Earth. Do you think, as I do, that non-criminal illegals who are gainfully employed should be naturalized citizens? I mean, I'm not a doctrinaire talk show host who has to do a knee-jerk statement on all these issues. It's easy to grandstand and say, look, Ed Lee is grandstanding, the mayor, saying, we're a sanctuary city, we're going to support immigrants. So doctrinaire media types are going to say, oh, no, no, I want to kick them all out, kick the illegals out, give the job to Americans. Well, we all know the Americans are not going to take all those jobs. Some will, some won't. Or as the last caller just exemplified, I think, pretty clearly, and as we all know, if you have eyes and ears, the illegal workers are probably the hardest working people in the country, incidentally, next to me. I don't think any illegal could do what I do. They'd probably fall over and faint. But nevertheless, that's a bad joke. The hard work that's being done on construction sites and restaurants, these people will do it, and they do it cheerfully, and they do it well. So I'm asking you a loaded question. Should non-criminal illegal aliens become naturalized citizens under Trump's immigration policies? Because I think they should. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. I looked into the executive order that Donald Trump signed today, and you got to hear me. This is so important. I've saved the cherry on the cake for the end of the third hour. Trump today ordered a weekly publication of crimes committed by illegals in sanctuary cities. A weekly publication. It was in an executive order entitled Enhancing Public Safety in the Interior of the United States. He directed Secretary John Kelly, that's our new and true DHS chief, a real Secretary of Homeland Security, as opposed to that fraudulent Wall Street lawyer that just got kicked out on his butt. He told him to better inform the public. With threats associated with sanctuary jurisdictions, the Secretary DHS shall utilize the declined detainer outcome report to make public a comprehensive list of criminal actions committed by aliens and any jurisdiction that ignored or otherwise failed to honor any detainers with respect to such aliens, the order reads. This guy's serious. You know, a lot of people like to say, well, he just used the conservatives of the right wing or the deplorables to get where he is. Well, guess what? He's doing everything that we ever wanted him to do. The same executive order, by the way, all you good libs who live off the social welfare state, quote, directs that federal funds be withheld from cities and counties that don't cooperate with immigration officials. And San Francisco gets $1 billion a year. That's a B. $1 billion a year from the federal government. That's one-tenth of the city's budget. Do you know how many people in this city live off the illegal alien population? You'll find out very soon when that $1 billion is cut off and they raise property and sales taxes on the good liberal residents of San Francisco. We'll see what happens when they have to pay for it. In the interim, I suggest you go to BarnesandNoble.com or Amazon.com and buy Trump's war now. It's so important that we fight this battle together, because today the battle has only begun. Savage.